Mark chapter 5. Just on a note, other was freed and delivered by the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord did for him what no other person was able to do. And that's what we're seeing in the three stories that are recorded in Mark chapter 5. We're seeing that the Lord is able to do what no person, no human being is able to do. We started the second story last week, which is the story of a dead girl. And this is the story of Jairus' daughter. Jairus was one of the rulers of the synagogue in this place, as you see there in verse 22. And he approaches Jesus and falls at his feet. And it says in verse 23 that he besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter." And from this chapter, as well as comparing the other stories in the other Gospels, we find that this was his only daughter and that she was around 12 years old. So he says, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death." She's not dead, but she's close. She lieth at the point of death. She's what we might call on death's door. She's very, very close to dying. And he says, "I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." And it says Jesus went with him, verse 24. And I talked a little bit last time about how that's really what all of us desire when we pray. We desire for the Lord to answer the request that we make. And I talked a little bit about some of the reasons why Jesus went so willingly with this man. Because he didn't have to, right? I mean, if you get to thinking about it, all of the things that Jesus did, the miracles he performed, he didn't have to do any of them. Right? I mean, if he's God, he can do whatever he wants to. And he didn't have to heal anybody. He didn't have to perform any miracles at any given time. But we see that time and time and time again, he did. And this is one of those situations where he agrees to go with the man. And I think we see here some reasons why. For example, verse 22, he fell at his feet. This was a man who came humbly. He didn't come in arrogance and pride. He came and fell at the Lord Jesus' feet. It says in verse 23 that he besought him greatly. So he's being very earnest in his pray. This obviously is something that means a lot to him. And those of us who have children, we know what it means to have children, to love children, and how dear they are to our hearts. And what we'd be willing to do to make sure that they had whatever it was that they needed. That's just kind of the natural thing. And this man here obviously loves his daughter very much. She's dear to his heart. He realizes she's got a very serious situation on her hands. She's about to die. And he just casts aside all pride. He's not worried about his image and what people might think of him. And he just falls down at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And he basically begs the Lord. He besought him greatly. Begs the Lord to come and heal his daughter. And this, again, is some of the reasons why I think the Lord was so willing to help the man to do what he wanted done here. I really think, I'm just telling you straight, I really think that a major reason why sometimes we don't see God work on our behalf as much as we would like is because we allow petty things and things that really don't matter to keep us from coming to the Lord the way we need to come. I mean, how many times have you heard stories of people being in church? Just a simple illustration of people being in church and feeling the Lord dealing with them and just knowing that the Lord's speaking to their heart and maybe convicting them about something or whatever the case, but they know very definitely that the Lord would have them to make a move, to come forward and either pray with the pastor or to get down at the altar and spend some time praying. They know that. And yet they don't come. For the petty reason, okay, can I just give it to you? For the petty reason of worrying about what people in the church are going to think about them. And then they wonder why God doesn't work the way they want him to on their behalf. It's because we're so proud and petty about things, so vain in our thoughts and worried about stuff that don't matter. I tell you what, things get really real in your life or in your kid's life, you won't care what anybody in this place thinks about you. You'll get to Jesus just as fast as you can. And if somebody don't like it, then you won't worry about it. And here's an illustration of a fella who just, and he's a ruler now. And I mentioned this, he's a ruler, so obviously he's somewhat of a big shot. He doesn't care. He doesn't care what anybody thinks about him groveling down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not worried about that. You know what's on his mind? My daughter's sick and about to die. I need somebody to help her. That's what's on his mind. And he doesn't care what anybody else thinks. So he comes humbly and he comes and just falls before the Lord and begs the Lord to work on behalf of his daughter. And I think those are some major reasons why it says in verse 24, Jesus went with him. He sees that this man is not worried about his self-image and all that other stuff. And that he genuinely wants his daughter to be healed, so he goes. And it says much people followed him and thronged him. That means people's all around him, brushing up against him, bumping into him, touching him, all that kind of stuff. Verse 25, and a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years. Now, this story of the dead girl sort of gets interrupted here for a little bit with the third story that we read about in this chapter, and that's the story of the diseased woman. Her name is not given here. I don't find it in any of the other Gospels. It's just a certain woman. And she had an issue of blood. By an issue of blood, it means that she was losing blood. There's a flow of blood because later on we're going to see down in verse 29 that it's referred to as the fountain of her blood. And when you have a fountain, you got something that is flowing there. So she has an issue, a fountain of blood. She's losing blood. And this has been going on, it says, for 12 years. Now that's a good while to have to deal with anything. Okay. So for 12 years, she's been losing blood. And during this 12 years, according to verse 26, she suffered many things. And that's the right word. If you've ever been to the doctor, that's the right word. Amen? She suffered. You ever wonder why kids don't want to go to the doctor? Because generally when you go, they hurt you. You know what I mean? I'm not a kid anymore, at least not in my age, but I'd never look forward to going to the doctor. Of course, the main reason I don't like to go is because how much money they're going to get from me. But generally when I go, they do something that hurts. They stick something in me or pull something or, you know, whatever. There's always some kind of pain involved. And for 12 years, she suffered many things of many physicians. Went from one doctor to the next. You ever had that experience? Go to this doctor and he tries all this, doesn't do you any good, so you get referred to another doctor and you go to that doctor and he tries all kind of stuff on you, doesn't work, and they refer you, or you get word from a friend about, well, I went to this guy and he helped me, so maybe he'll help you, and you wind up, before you know it, you went to 10 or 15 different doctors, and instead of getting better, you either stay the same or get worse. Well, that's her story. For 12 years, she's just been doctor hopping, one doctor to the next, just going from one place to the next. And you know why? She's trying to get some help. She don't like what's going on with her body here, and she wants to be healed up. Who can blame her? Amen. Who in here among us likes to be sick? Nobody likes to be sick. That's why we run off to the doctor the majority of the time, because we don't like to be sick. We want somebody to do something to make us better. And this woman's no different. She's trying to get better. She's just grasping at straws, really, just trying to find some doctor that might can do her some good. But it says at the end of verse 26 that she was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. She's just getting worse all along as time goes by. Instead of getting better, she's getting worse and worse. And here is a big problem. It says in verse 26, there in the middle of that verse, she had spent all that she had. That doesn't take long, really. when you go to doctors, unless you have really, really, really good health insurance, you can spend all you got, I mean, in a hurry, going to doctors. I mean, you think about this young fellow that Brother Randy's got here. He mentioned a while ago about paying that bill. God only knows how much that bill's going to be. I mean, there's just no telling what that's going to be, honestly. What's that? Absolutely. Absolutely. So she's run out of money. She's not any better. She's getting worse. You know what I think about when I think about this story here? And there's a particular word that comes to my mind that I just have to think that she felt after all this time and all this money and all these doctors. You know what that word is? Hopeless. She had to have just felt hopeless. You know, I've done everything I know to do. I've seen every doctor that's around here. I've tried every drug, every medicine, every procedure, everything they can do, and I'm run out of money. I'm tapped out. I can't go see another doctor. I don't have any more resources, and I'm not getting any better. But look, verse 27, here's where hope comes on the scene. It says, when she had heard of Jesus. You know, when she heard of him, she got just a little glimmer of hope there. She's thinking, hey, you know, I heard about that fella. I heard about all the people that he's healed, the things that he's done for others. Heard about how he healed that maniac over there, that fellow that was crazy and had all them devils. I don't know if she'd heard about him or not, but I'm sure it says when she heard of Jesus. And when it says she heard of Jesus, it has to mean that she heard he was coming through. But for her to respond the way she did, this wasn't the first time she had heard of Jesus. Because if she had never heard anything else about him, never heard of any of his miracles or anything like that, then why would she have thought, why would she have believed in her heart and mind, if I can just touch him, I'll be healed. Y'all following what I'm saying? So somebody had already told her about him. And to me, that's the key to this whole miracle that takes place in her life, is that she had heard at some point about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he was doing, what he was able to do, and now she's hearing, hey, he's passing by our way. If she'd have never heard about him, she'd have never even had the thought in her mind that this man, Jesus, might could do something about her condition. Wouldn't it be a shame for somebody to go to hell just because they never heard about the Lord Jesus Christ? And I know that living here in America, that's kind of hard to imagine, because you know, there's churches and Christians and Bibles all over the place. But do you realize there are actually people still in this world right now who've never heard the name Jesus before? That's why some of these missionaries that we support or that we hear about are doing what they're doing. It's why they're willing to leave all the comforts of the United States and all the things that they enjoy right here and go off into a jungle somewhere where there's little to no civilization whatsoever, because they know there's people out there in them jungles that are dying and going to hell, and they've never even heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, thank God. Thank God that there are men and women the Lord puts his call on, and they're willing to surrender to that call and go to places like that. I don't have any problem whatsoever putting financial support behind people like that, who are willing to give up all the luxuries and the comforts we have here and go to a place where there's no civilization just to tell people about Jesus Christ. I think that's a wonderful thing. And I think God's people should, you know, here, blessed as we are, we ought to take some of those blessings and back people like that, shouldn't we? To help them get to those folk that haven't heard. What a terrible thought to think there's a whole tribe of people somewhere, and every day some of them are slipping out into eternity and they never even heard about Jesus Christ. Never even heard of him. We take that for granted. I've been hearing about him as far back as I can remember. I was in church before I was born. You know what I mean? I've been hearing that name all my life, literally all my life. There's people right now that if you said Jesus to them, it would mean nothing to them. We're familiar with that name, right? There's people in this world, that name means no more to them than any other name because they've never heard it. It means nothing to them. And thank God there's some folks that are willing to go and tell people that so that they can come to know that Jesus. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press, talking about this big crowd of people behind, and touched his garment. The other gospels talk about how she touched the hem of his garment, just down on the bottom, just the hem. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. You know what that is? That's faith is what that is. And by the way, this man Jairus who's come and prayed for his daughter, he was a man of faith as well. The Bible says that without faith it's impossible to please God, right? For he that cometh to him must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith is very important with the Lord, very important. And Jairus was a man of faith. He says, I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed. You know what he believed? He believed that if Jesus would touch his daughter, she'd be healed. Now, you and I know that he didn't have to touch her, right? We know that. Well, he could have just spoke the word and she'd been healed. Just had a thought and her be healed, ever how he wanted to do it. But he had a measure of faith because he believed that if the Lord touched his daughter, she'd get better. This woman's the same way. She's got a measure of faith. She believes, hey, if I can just get to him, if I can just get to him and just touch his clothes, then I'll be whole. That's what she believed. In verse 29, the Bible says, and straightway, that's the word in this epistle, or excuse me, in this gospel that shows up time and time again. Straightway, 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 which means immediately, at once. And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up. Just like that. Just like that. Healed immediately. What no doctor could do, the great physician did just like that. After all these years and all this money and all these doctors, just like that. I believe, I really believe it with all my heart, or I wouldn't tell you. I believe that no matter how bad or desperate a situation gets, if the Lord chooses, and I realize that for whatever reason, sometimes he just chooses not to do it the way we want him to do it. But I believe that no matter how horrible a situation is, if he chooses, he can just step in and just like that completely change that situation. He can do it. He's more than able to do it. And that's exactly what happens with this woman. Immediately she's healed. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Immediately she realizes, hey, I'm better. I'm healed. She knew it. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Now, back up in verse 24, it says that much people followed him and thronged him. There's people touching him all over. But he stops and he says, who touched my clothes? You can imagine, you read right here how the disciples felt about that. And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? You know what, that's their real nice way of saying, what's wrong with you? You ask who touched my clothes, these people touching you all over, bumping into you, rubbing again. You know, they might have thought the Lord was just, you know, having a bad day or something, maybe wasn't thinking straight. What's wrong when you ask a question like that? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? You know what that shows? All those people touching him, bumping into him, rubbing all on him. But he knew when that one woman touched him. Here, you got one God. Isn't that what the Bible says? and millions of Christians all over this world, millions of them, praying to this one God. But here's what you don't ever need to forget. That one God, though he's being thronged every day by thousands and millions of people, he hears your prayer. And your prayer is important to him. And don't ever forget that. This one woman touches him out of all this, and he knows that touch. And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. She just came and told him the whole story. I kind of figure he already knew the story. But she told him. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." She's rewarded for her faith. She gets the healing that she needed, the healing that she desired for so long. But now we pick back up with the story of the dead girl. Verse 35, "While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" That's a message you don't ever want to get right there. Thy daughter or thy son is dead. You don't want to hear that. No parent wants to hear that. I guess as, you know, you think about it, of all the things that you could hear about your child or your children, from a worldly perspective, that's the worst it you could get right there. I mean, it's bad if you hear, well, your child is sick, or your child's been in an accident and they're seriously injured, or your child's in a coma. I mean, all that's bad. But when you get that phone call, or the doctor comes out and says your child is dead, that is what no parent ever wants to hear. You hear those other things, you know, like your child's sick or your child's been injured, there's still, you would think, a glimmer of hope in your mind and your heart. Well, I know they're sick, but they can get better. I know they're hurt, but if we get them to the right doctor and they get the right treatment, they can get over this thing and they'll be all right. But when they say, "Thy son is dead," all hope just has to fade away. Just has to be gone. It's in regarding their physical condition and their life on this earth, it has to be a hopeless feeling there. It's one that some of you people in here understand because you've lived through it. And I wouldn't begin to insult you by saying that I understand. And we do that a lot, don't we? When we're talking to people, "I understand what you're going through." Well, if you haven't ever been there, you don't understand what they're going through. And it's really an insult, to be honest with you, to tell them that you understand if you don't understand. And if you haven't been there, you don't understand. I don't understand that. And I'm going to say something else that may sound insensitive. I don't ever want to understand what you're going through. I don't want to get that message. I don't want to hear it. But some of you have heard it. You've lived through that. And this is the message this man got. The message, obviously, he didn't want to hear. Notice they say, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" You know, that's their way, their kind way, politically correct way of just saying, there's no need in bothering him anymore. It's hopeless. She's dead now. It's over. Just come on back home. Don't bother him no more. She was alive, and there was some hope, but she's dead now. There's no hope here. Just don't bother him. Don't waste his time anymore. Notice verse 36, "As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue," he speaks to him immediately. It says, as soon as Jesus, he speaks immediately because he knows that just that fast, getting that word, how that man felt and how all the hope had to go out of him, how all the faith that he expressed had to just go away right then, because now she's gone and, hey, she's dead. Nothing can be done now. But doesn't the Bible say that nothing is impossible with God. That's what it says. So even when the situation looks beyond all hope and you think there's nothing that can possibly be done with the Lord Jesus Christ, there's always hope. There's always hope. And so he says immediately unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And he's just asked that fellow to do something that I think would be hard. I think it would be a lot harder to believe after the child is dead than to believe before the child is dead, right? I mean, that's just common sense. Before she's dead, he's got some faith. He's saying, just come and touch her and she'll be healed. But now she's dead. She's dead, Lord. She's gone. But he still says, believe. That means you believe even when you can't find a reason to believe. When you look at the situation and there is absolutely nothing there. See, as long as that girl was still alive, he had reason to believe. He had reason to believe that she could be made better because she's not dead yet. But once she's dead, why believe now? She's dead. And what I'm saying is that you're going to look into some situations in your life if you live long enough where maybe at certain points in that situation you had cause to believe because there was still some life in that situation. And even though it looked really bleak and bad, there just seemed to be some reason to hang on there. But at other times, you're going to look at things and you're not going to be able to find any reason to keep believing. Everything is going to be pointing in the direction of hopeless. It's over. It's done. It's final. There's nothing else that can change this. And you know what the Lord wants you to do even in those situations? Just keep on believing. Just keep on believing. You say, how long? Well, as long as you're alive. Just keep having faith. Just keep believing. That sounds crazy, but that's what he told him. Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. These three men were obviously more closely connected to the Lord, or he was more closely connected to them, or both, because there are several instances you read in the Bible where he would only allow those three men to be with him when something happened or when he performed a miracle. So he says to them, or it says about this situation, he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. So he comes and he sees what's going on here. Now we're out of time. We've got some people trying to get in. So we'll stop here and we'll finish this story up next time and go on into the next chapter. Any questions about what we looked at? Any questions? All right, let's take a break.